A couple of weeks after Easter, a homeless man knocked on the convent door asking for a handout. And the nun who came to the door was a little bit reluctant, but she said, "Well, it is the Easter season, I should be generous." So she placed a $10 bill in the homeless man's hand and whispered in his ear, "He is risen." Well, a couple days later, the homeless man came back to the convent and knocked on the same door, and the same nun answered. And the homeless man said, "Sister, here is your $100. And the sister says, "I don't understand." And the homeless man said, "He is risen, came in at 50 to 1. So it is a couple weeks after Easter, and he is risen. And he proves it by appearing to his disciples in the upper room. They were still scared to death. They had the doors locked for fear. And Jesus appeared to them, and the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." And this word, shalom, in Aramaic and Hebrew, is an act of reconciliation and forgiveness, because they had abandoned him. They had denied him. Peter betrayed him. And we know that Jesus first forgave them. That's the first thing Jesus did, was to offer all of them peace and forgiveness. Now, of course, they were terrified and startled. They thought they were seeing a ghost. So Jesus does five things to prove that he's not a ghost, that he's risen from the dead, that he has a real glorified body. And he first, of course, appears to them. Second, he speaks with them and has a conversation with them. Third, he shows them his hands and his feet. He shows them the wounds, the nail marks, the holes in his hands and his feet that are now glorified. Number four, he allows them to touch his hands and feet. Thomas would even put his hand into Jesus' side. And then he even eats with them and asks for something to eat. And they gave him a piece of baked fish. So next time you play a game of Catholic Trivial Pursuit, always remember that. You might get an answer if you remember. That's what he ate, a piece of baked fish. So Jesus does those five things to prove that he is raised from the dead. So it does show, and the church has always believed and taught, that even after Jesus' body was resurrected and glorified, he still maintains his five major wounds. The wounds in his two hands, in his feet, and in his side. All the other wounds, we believe, were healed and no longer have evidence of those. All the 120 scourge marks of the Lord's body, the bruised face, the puncture wounds in his scalp from the crown of thorns, those were all healed, but the Lord kept his five major wounds. And as many of the saints have said, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, continues to show the Heavenly Father his five wounds, asking God's mercy and intercession upon the world. So Jesus showed that he was truly raised from the dead, that he truly is risen from the dead. And then it says something very interesting. Jesus says, "Everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And these apostles were then given this knowledge that they would write down. John would write a gospel, Matthew would write a gospel, others would write letters, such as St. Jude and St. James would write letters. And that's how we know about all how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. There are over 600 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, that he'd be born of a virgin, he'd be born in Bethlehem, he would be raised in Nazareth, he would be the new Paschal Lamb, he would die on a cross between thieves, he would be raised up. All these things Jesus fulfilled. Again, if you want to read a good book about this, read a book called The Emmaus Code by David Limbaugh, The Emmaus Code, not to be confused with the Da Vinci Code, okay? Don't say Father Pefley wanted you to read the Da Vinci Code. The Da Vinci Code is anti-Catholic propaganda and fiction. The Emmaus Code is a good Christian book written by a devout Christian, a brilliant theologian, who shows how Jesus fulfilled all of these Old Testament prophecies. And then it says that Jesus gave them the commandment to go and preach that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and that the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. What is the word witness in the Greek? It means a martyr. So Jesus says, you will be my martyrs. And the apostles went out and were martyred for their belief in the resurrection. John is the only one who died of natural causes, of advanced age, out of love for Christ. All the other apostles were martyred for Christ. They were his witnesses. What I think is interesting about when Jesus appeared in his risen, glorified body, that when you look in the catechism and say, what are the qualities of a resurrected, glorified body? We see Jesus shows these in his resurrection appearances. And the good news also is that anybody who goes to heaven at the general resurrection on the last day, we will all get a glorified body in the resurrection on the last day. What are the four qualities of a glorified body? Number one is clarity, which means the resurrected body will be filled with beauty and light. It'll be radiant, like shining like the sun, like the stars in the heavens. Number two, a glorified body, Jesus's body, and our bodies will have the gift of impassibility, which means the inability to suffer. There'll be no more death, no more disease, no more hunger, no more pain, no more suffering. A resurrected, glorified body will never again experience suffering. Number three, the resurrected, glorified body has what's called spirituality. That means it is not impeded by material things. That's how in today's gospel, Jesus could walk through a locked door. It has spirituality. A glorified body can pass through a locked door. Number four, the glorified body has the gift of agility, which means that the glorified body is subject to the mind and will of the person. It can move and travel at the speed of thought. And so we see this in the resurrection appearances. Jesus could be, you know, in the upper room, and then, you know, he could be in Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, or then he could go from Galilee to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Galilee, at the speed of thought. So these are the qualities that the Catechism says that Jesus's glorified body had when he rose from the dead, filled with light and radiance, no more ability to suffer. He could not be limited by material things. He could move at the speed of mind and will to any part of the world. And the good news is that those souls who go to heaven will get their glorified bodies back. This is something we can all look forward to for a lot of reasons. In heaven, you'll have perfect height, perfect weight, perfect sight, perfect hearing. No more hearing aids needed in heaven. No more glasses or contact lenses. No more Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig. No more hair coloring. All those things that we need in this earth, we don't need those anymore. With a resurrected, glorified body, we'll be perfect in every way. And this is very comforting to me and my family, who just lost my mom on Friday night, just two nights ago. I was with her on Thursday and Friday. She was 95 and a half years old. She was doing well up until the moment that the Lord called her home. I was with her on Thursday, Friday, said Mass for her, gave her the anointing of the sick. I sort of had an inspiration to give her the apostolic pardon as well, which is the plenary indulgence, the complete remission of sin, including temporal punishment. And then I left on Friday night to drive back to Virginia and got a call a couple hours later that she had died peacefully in her bed. And so the fact that my mom was 95 and very badly crippled and bent over with osteoporosis, and you know, had been bent over for many years, my dad always told her, "Don't worry, Mary. In heaven, you'll be straight. You'll be able to stand up straight in heaven." And St. Thomas Aquinas speculates that when we get to heaven and get our glorified body at the general resurrection, that will all be the age of perfection. What is the age of perfection? Thomas Aquinas says it's age 33 because Jesus died at age 33. So if we look around, most of us are well beyond perfection as we look around. But the good news is that if you're faithful to God and as Jesus says, those who die with Christ will also rise with Christ. And so that is something very comforting to think about, that not only will our souls be glorified in heaven, but one day our resurrected bodies will be reunited with our souls, and we get to share in the resurrection of Christ. So the even better news than coming in at 50-1 at the track is the fact that he is risen, and those who have died with Christ will also rise with Christ, not only their souls, but their glorified bodies as well.